Daniel, I'm going to pick back up where I was a little bit this morning. If you didn't like this morning, you might not like tonight either, but if it helped you any this morning, maybe it'll help you again tonight. What I preached on this morning is abomination of desolation when he stands in the temple. Matthew 24, when he said, and you see the abomination of desolation, he talks about that they would get into, the Jews would get into a hurry and begin to flee. The abomination of desolation I'll not see unless God gives me a ringside seat in glory. But I have so many people ask questions and talk about it, and that's the reason I'm giving it to you, so that you can tell them. Matter of fact, you may be in here tonight and wonder if you're going to, you know, you're worrying about taking the mark of the beast, if you're going to have to take it, or amen. Nobody has to take it, period. Nobody. But no child of God tonight will. Because they're blood bought, blood washed, and they realize who they are. And by the way, we're not going to have to worry about the mark of the beast. We won't be here. We'll be in glory. But those saints that are on the earth during the tribulation hour, they will refuse to take it. They will refuse. And likely so, and thank God for it. But I want to talk about some things here tonight, especially that I want to point out that I didn't get to tonight or this morning, and get it a little bit deeper. The book of Revelation is a strong book. It's a heavy book. Nobody knows all the details of it. Nobody. I understand more of it now than I have in days past because I'm closer to it. 25 years ago, some of the things I preach today, I'd have never even thought about preaching today. Daniel sealed the book up, and now God is opening the book for us to understand things. And isn't it amazing? You probably understand prophecy better today than you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Matter of fact, I understand it better than I did 5 years ago. Just simply because of things that I see happening all around me. I do give God the glory for it, for understanding it. I talked about this morning, and we're going to read one of those verses here in just a minute. Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27 is where we're going to take our text. I took it in Matthew chapter 24 this morning. We're going to do it tonight in chapter 9 and verse 27 in Daniel. I won't ask you to stand, but I will get you just to look with me in verse number 27. And it said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. We're going to talk about who he is in just a minute. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation. I said this morning that word oblation is, maybe I did or maybe I didn't, but if I didn't, here's what it is. Oblation is sacrifice. You remember I told you this morning the Jews will pick up sacrifice again. They're getting the tabernacle ready. They're getting everything ready for that. And the Antichrist, why don't they do it now? Why don't they go ahead and start sacrificing now? Simply because today the church is still on the earth. And we have no reason for sacrifice, and the Lord knows that. The Jews don't either. But they refuse the Messiah. And God's going to use the Old Testament plan to get their mind put back in gear and get their heart in gear with their mind. And they're going to continue on. They are an earthly people with an earthly promise. We are a heavenly people with a heavenly promise. We are not looking for a kingdom to be established on the earth and Jesus be the king, although we will be in a kingdom on this earth with Jesus the king. But the Jews are looking for a kingdom. They're looking for a David. They're looking for an Abraham. They're looking for a Messiah. They pray at the Wailing Wall every day. Secretly they pray and they pull little notes out of the wall, prayers, and they pray. And I want you to know they're in more serious, dire need of those prayers than you and I are in our freedom in the day of grace here in our churches. Actually, they're praying more sincere about the Lord and the Messiah than we are about men and women, boys and girls that are dying without God and going to hell. I've been there. I know what they do. It's so sacred. They put on their little, what I call, beanie hats. They've got to have their head covered to go up there. And you can hear them. I can't understand them because they're talking a different language, but they are praying. Many of them are just taking prayer books and reading those prayers because they're looking. But I want you to know tears will fall from their eyes. They are sincere, more sincere than we are. We pray. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And amen and amen. If I should die before I wake, amen, I pray you and my soul to keep. You know how we do. We just pray. We throw words out. But these folks are sincere. They're going back into the Old Testament economy. How much of that, I don't know what they will do. Matter of fact, it's up to them. I won't be here. Amen. But as I look at this, the Bible said, and he shall confirm the covenant. Covenant is a promise. A covenant is an agreement with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation, that which they offer, and the humbling. He's going to cause that to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I did point out this morning that the word desolate is mentioned twice. Abomination once, and I tied it with Matthew 24, and talked about the abomination of desolation. Now, we want to pray and then bring the thought to you tonight. I pray God will help us. Father, open our minds of wisdom. I pray, God, give us the thoughts from heaven. Lord, I pray you'd saturate our soul with the Holy Ghost. Lord, may we speak as we wish we had. We stand in the judgment. Lord, we know tonight we don't have no problems with the abomination of desolation. We realize, Lord, that's beyond our realm. But we want to bring this out because it's the Word of God. And Lord, we believe tonight you want us to preach it. And I pray that we might catch it as it really is, not add anything to it nor take anything away from it. And I pray our minds, Lord, might be brought into subjection to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there's one under the sound of our voice that's not ready and prepared for the rapture when the Lord comes, I pray tonight that they'll get it settled now, not later. And Lord, that they'll know that when they walk out of this building tonight, they know that they're yours. Amen. And Lord, we can look for the rapture and the coming of the Lord. Now we'll give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Daniel mentions the abomination 3 times. I give them to you this morning. I'll give them to you again tonight. In chapter 9 and verse 27. In chapter 11 and verse number 31. We just read that in 9 and 27. But in Daniel 11 and verse number 31. He said, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. Notice the word pollute. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Going to pollute the sanctuary of strength. and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And I'm going to read another verse, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Sound like the average politician today. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The third time this abomination is mentioned is in chapter 12 and verse 11. And we're going to look at this. In verse 11 it says tonight, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, it's all talking about the same thing, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. If you take 1,290 days, if you add that up tonight, you'll find that's 43 months. 43 months. 42 months is 6 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. And add a month to it, amen, makes it one extra month. Now keep that in your mind. And looking at this tonight, we're going to go back. I'm going to give you some things to jot down right here. First of all, this is talking about a future ruler, a future leader who is going to set up his throne in the temple. I'll read you some scripture about that in just a little bit. He's a future ruler, and he will make a treaty with the people of Israel. I told you why that's not being done now. Don't that make sense? Amen. God's not dealing with the Jew right now. He's dealing with the church. And we ought to be dealing with him tonight in the way and the course that God's got us placed here. We are the stewards of God's plan. We're the stewards of God's gospel. He's not trusting Israel to get the gospel out. He's not trusting the politicians or the leaders of the country or the world to get the gospel out. He's trusting the individuals who are saved by the grace of God, born again believers. He's entrusted us with the gospel. Now sometimes we're looking at too many of the future events of what might happen and what might not happen, and we're losing sight of what we should be doing. And right now we should be trying to get the gospel out to every person on the face of the earth. Number one. All right. We find in the future leader that he's coming. He's going to make a treaty with them. Verse 27, chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. And he shall confirm. That means establish. Means agree with them. And he shall confirm the covenant with many. Now remember, Daniel is writing to the Jews. He's writing to his people. This is Old Testament. So he's writing to, so he's going to confirm the covenant with many. These many are going to be the Jews. How many, I don't know. But he's going to confirm it with them. And so we'll see that. The second thing is, he gives us the terms of the treaty. It's going to be 1 week. You see that tonight? He said, and he shall confirm the covenant with him, with many for 1 week. Those who have studied any part of the scriptures here knows that, and I'm not going to get into that tonight. Sometimes I can and do, and I have done it before, but I'm not going to take time to do it tonight. But that week represents a period of 7 years. Amen. We've got a 7-year tribulation period coming to this world. Amen. And if God don't cut it short, there's not going to be any saved. We're going to talk about that. People laugh about the tribulation. They make fun about the tribulation. They actually don't know what the tribulation really is. It's a serious thing. If I was lost and somebody preached on what I'm fixing to preach on tonight, I'd be running to the altar. Because I ain't going to get involved in that. I don't want to be there. Thank God I won't have to be. And it's a good thing for us to look at. Now we can take this and turn it into the business of trying to win souls. And that's what we're trying to do tonight. Now we find that the terms of the treaty is for 1 week. Thirdly, we find tonight that in the mid period of that 1 week, somewhere in the mid of that week, in the mid of that 7 years, that there's going to be an end of the sacrifices in the temple. If the rapture took place tonight, today, before we get out of this service, or before morning, sometimes this week, I don't know how long it's going to take for the white horse to ride out. I don't. Somebody says he'll ride out and then we'll go out. I believe tonight that the church is going to get called out before, the Antichrist is revealed. They've been trying to figure out who the Antichrist is for years. I've read after this one and after that one, and preacher, I hear preacher preach about this, and it started all back way back under with Henry Kissinger and some of the others, and I could name you a list tonight that they said it is. And now tonight, you know who the popular one is for the Antichrist? Amen. Lacron of France. Anybody heard that? Anybody heard that? All right, okay. Now you say, is he? I don't know. I know he ain't right now. Amen. They said he is because simply he's got Jewish blood from his mother's side, and he's a Syrian on his daddy's side. And I have preached down through the years he'll probably be somebody like a Syrian Jew. But that's deals-ology. Amen. I have no Bible on that. But I do believe tonight that the Antichrist is probably alive. Yeah, right. I may be wrong, and I'm not here to try to speculate on those things. I'm not going to preach you something I don't know. And if I don't know it and I'm guessing at it, I'm going to tell you I'm guessing at it. I call it deals-ology. Yeah. All right. So let's go a little further. They've come and went. One Antichrist after another has come. I mean, in the eyes of people. They number them by their names and their numbers. And Lacron's got five different names. And they've put all them names together. I'm not getting into that. Let them do it. Amen. If they know more about it than I do, and that's fine, and I'm sure they do, they got more to back them up, I'll let them preach it. I'm not going to be here anyhow. The church is going to get called out, and somewhere after the church is called out, this Antichrist, and that's who he is in chapter 9 and verse 27, he's going to set up his rule. The white horse will ride out, he'll come out, and there will be peace on this earth. Remember, I preached last week about violence in the land. I believe we're going to see more violence than what we're seeing now. I believe the world, and it's very violent right now. But I believe there's going to be more violent, and the Antichrist is going to have the answer for all that problem. I believe we're going to have an economic problem. I believe we're going to have a money problem. I believe we're going to have food problems, shortages on everything. And brother, when you start getting in somebody's pocketbook and getting out in their refrigerator, amen. I mean, you can steal their garden tractor and get away with that a lot better than you can taking their food and their money. And that'll get people upset. And they won't mind taking everything. I've watched this in a period of the last 20, 25, 30 years. They'll steal anything you got tonight to go buy another smoke or another pill for dope. And they'll steal from their mama, their grandma, their grandpa. They'll steal from anybody and everybody just to satisfy them. Understand, we're living in that society. Now, I'm not going to get very far tonight either and see that now. But I'm trying. And I want people to know what we need to know to tell them. Nobody in this building needs to go home tonight and worry about the abomination, desolation, and the Antichrist, and the mark of the beast, and the tribulation on the earth. I mean, don't waste your time and lose your sleep tonight over them things. You've got other things to be concerned about, not those. You ought to be concerned. If we got concerned enough tonight about our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones and our family members tonight that are lost and undone without God, if we got as much concern about them as we have about the prophetic things of the scriptures tonight, we'd start seeing a revival in America. Things would change. We'd start seeing our churches filled up. I don't see why we don't have our churches filled up in this day. There's more reason for you to be at the house of God now than there's ever been. There's more reason for you to try to search the mind of God now than you've ever had. Amen. That's why we need to go to the house constantly, the house of God, that is. So we find that he's going to break that little covenant. He's going to break that in the midst of it. Still found in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. We believe when the white horse rides out, he'll give peace. We believe when the red horse rides out, he'll take peace. And then the other horses ride out and we got problems. And they all correspond to the different times and periods of time of the tribulation. Now let's look at something else. I believe tonight that he's going to do something that's going to change the whole world. You remember the devil has always thrown a monkey wrench in every project man's had. We had a beautiful garden to live in, and he destroyed it. We had a beautiful system how God had blessed them and put them in the land of Canaan, and the devil destroyed that. We've seen people walk with God and talk with God and see God in his presence in the tabernacle. And we watched the devil destroy that. We had a Christ that came down to this earth and walked upon the earthly soil. God in the flesh. And the devil destroyed that. Now you said he could. Does that mean he's more powerful? No, it just means God allowed it. Amen. And it's not because God hates us, it's because we've got sin. Amen. God don't hate you, but he despises your sin and mine. Amen. God hates the works of the flesh. All right. He's going to break that sacrifice. In Daniel chapter number 11 and verse, chapter number 11 and verse, chapter number 12, no, chapter number 11 and verse 31. I don't have these wrote down. I'm just looking at them. And he said in verse 31, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary. You remember I said a while ago, keep that in mind. What's that mean? Pollute the sanctuary. I'm going to read to you tonight in, well, I won't read this probably, but I'll tell you right quickly. Out of Thessalonians, the Bible said that the devil will sit in the temple, declare himself God. He will. That's bad enough. That's pollution enough. When the devil, if a devil come in here and sit down tonight, that's pollution enough. But he's going to do something else. He's going to bring something else in. And it's going to tear the world up. For 3.5 years, they've been worshiping. They've been a sacrificing. They've been a praying and offering blood. Because that's what God says. And that's what they don't recognize, that Christ offered himself. And it's his blood that they're to trust. And so they're going back to the Old Testament economy. You with me now? Stay with me. What's going to happen is he's going to break that covenant with them. And he's going to bring something else. And I'll read that to you in just a minute what it is. And he said, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination. Place the abomination that maketh desolate. Not only is it the Antichrist, he's going to put something in there. He's going to replace the sacrificing and the oblation with something else. What is that going to be? I'll try to show you that in just a minute. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11 said, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Whatever he's going to put in there after he's done stopped the sacrifice, he's going to put something else in the temple. That is the abomination. What's an abomination? Something that God detests. something that makes God mad, something that God can't stand, something that makes God sick. That's what the abomination is. What is it? We're going to look at that. That maketh desolate, said, there shall be 1,290 days. And that's what I was talking about a while ago. 90 days, and you divide that, 1,290 divided by that's 43 months. Now, I want to give one more thought. And I want to look at this. The desecration will continue. When he sets that desecration or desecrates the house of God or the temple of God and puts up that abomination, that will continue until the judgment of God is finally made it out and he's already or will judge the world. It will last till God puts a stop to it. 1,290 days if he don't cut them days short. There's a good possibility you cut them short. Amen? All right, now let's look at something. Take your Bible now. I've left out a lot of stuff. Now, I like studying this stuff, and I don't want to call it stuff either, but I love studying these scriptures. Go to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, to get this in your mind, you've got to remember that Revelation repeats itself. He goes over with the seven seals. At the end of the seven seals, he puts a parenthetical in and takes it back to something, and he does something else, and then he takes it back and he goes through this tribulation two or three times. I think it's four times in the book of Revelation. But when you get to chapter 13, I want to tell you there's no let up. What's he done? We're going to see in chapter 13. What has the Antichrist done? He said in chapter 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That's out of the world now. That's what it is. The sea is typical and a type of the world. Having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the names of, name of blasphemy. Now, some folks could, it's been in the prophecy, will tell you who all that is and talk about it. And I don't pay too much attention to the horns and the crowns and all that, except I know this one thing. That shows authority. Somebody stepped out looking like a beast, rise up out of the earth, it's going to get my attention. If they got crowns and horns and upon their head the name of blasphemy, they got my attention. I'm not going to try to describe that to you tonight. Down the road, God might show me something different and I can tell you what that is. But this boy here don't know right now. I just know it's going to happen. Verse 2 said, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. I read this the other day. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. In verse 3, he said, and I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. I could give you some things there, but I'm not going to take the time to do it. And I wouldn't get finished what I want to preach tonight to let you go home. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon. Who's the dragon? The devil, Satan, Lucifer. Which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? The first beast, as we look in it in verse number 8, down here in verse number 8, and I'm going to skip down and tell you, and I'll show you up here, I just read it and saw it, and I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, verse number 4. And they worshiped who? The beast. They worshiped the beast. Now that's not Christ. That's not God. It's somebody that's declaring himself as God. Now in verse number 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They're going to worship this beast. And in these first verses, down through verse number 10, we'll find that this beast will be an imitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be imitating Christ. When we get to verse number 11, we find another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, spoke like the devil. He wasn't coming out telling the gospel. He was an abomination. But we'll find that he, this second beast, imitates the Holy Spirit. And what he's going to do is try to turn the hearts of the people to get them to worship the beast. Understand that? Have you got it tonight? And he exercised all the power in verse number 12 of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to what? Worship the first beast. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit encourages you and me to do? Worship Jesus. Now this is going to happen on the earth after you are gone and I'm gone, unless you're not saved tonight and get left. Then this is going to happen, and this is what's going to turn out. And then down in verse number 13, it said, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." And now we find that he also is going to imitate Elijah. He's going to pull fire down from heaven. You ever wondered why God put that over there in the Old Testament? Why? God knew that this rascal here is coming. Amen. And Elijah went up and prayed 62 words, and fire came down out of heaven, consumed the sacrifice, eat up the water, licked up the stones, and amen. Now here's old Elijah in gear again. Of course, this is not Elijah, but it's somebody imitating him. Now what's going to happen? He's going to take the oblation out. He's going to take the sacrifice out. And he's going to put in the midst of that tabernacle or that temple, he's going to put something. Now what's he going to put? We'll have to go look at something else to find out what he's going to put in there. I'll tell you right now. And we're going to go down just a little bit further in this same chapter. You're going to find in verse 14, chapter number 13, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Now listen to me very carefully. I've seen enough in the course of the last 4 or 5 years that's got my mind settled on what I'm fixing to tell you. He's going to make an image. You've heard that all your life, haven't you? That the Antichrist will put an image. He's going to put it in the temple. That will be an abomination that God will detest. He's going to make and declare himself as God. And he's going to put them to worship an image. And God says, "Thou shalt not make any graven image." He's going contrary to the word of God. These Jews are going to pick up on that, by the way. Not all of them, but many of them will. They'll pick up on, they know better than take a mark in their body. And they know better than worship an image. I would to God Americans would have that same amen. I wish we'd catch on to this. But he said they're going to make an image to the beast. That's an idol, if I read that correctly. They'll make an image. Now, I want you to look in verse 15. "And he had power to give life unto the image." Have you ever seen an image come to life? They've been trying to produce life out of a test tube. They've been trying to do that. Some are thinking, I was in the barber shop when I was about 20-something. Well, I've been in there since, by the way. But was in my 20s and I was sitting in the barber shop, and a barber shop's about like some of these beauty shops. They talk about everything and gossip, you know. And they had a crowd. I'm sitting in a, and they had this little magazine there, and I picked it, you know, you waste your time and looking at all that. I mean, that's before I knowed to take a Bible with me. Amen. And I read that thing, and right on the front page of it, it had a man's body and a monkey head. And it said that they had put a man's head on the monkey. And it was alive. And I read that. And I come out of there all twisted. I didn't believe it. Still don't today. Amen. I do know that a lot of men look like they got a monkey head. And they go backwards. And some of them act like a monkey. Some of us do. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should what? Both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I said impossible. Can't happen. Won't happen. But I don't say that tonight. Amen. We've got new technology, and the new technology of tonight will multiply. Next year, the new technology will be so far-fetched to what our new technology is tonight that it gets scary. Now we've got robots running every job about in America. They're doing things. They ain't speaking, but they're doing work and doing, I guess many of them must be doing better work. They got them in automobiles working out things in the workforce of the auto industry. And I've noticed now that you can buy a new car and it'll go down the road a lot many more miles and you get more out of it than you used to years ago. Yeah. A 1940 model Ford, if you had 100,000 miles on it, you was pumping oil in it about every time you stopped. Now you can go a long time with them. They make them better. And robots are doing a lot of that. Not all of it. Well, you said that's, I see that. Yeah, I do too. I had them little old flip phones when I was a little younger. You know, you pick up that little old flip phone and, hello, talk. And shut it up and it closes down. Some of y'all still got the flip phones. That's okay. Then they got smartphones. Then they got smart TVs. They got smart everything. Right? And one day I got that little smartphone, his iPhone. I took it and they said if you speak, you know, if you mash a little button, if you mash a little button over here and hold it a little bit, and you say, hey, Siri, and she guess what she does? She'll say, yes. You said, tell me where the closest restaurant is. And she said, this is what I found, just that quick. And you read right down through there and find everyone is right close to where you are. Everywhere you go, they got Bluetooth speakers. You can go to any of these places and buy Bluetooth speakers. There's no radio in them or nothing like that. Some of them have, but most of them don't. A Bluetooth speaker is just a speaker, and when you turn it on, it's got little blue lights that flash. And there's a little place on there that says pair, you know, and well, what you do, you take your little smartphone and you go over there to the Bluetooth and hit Bluetooth and hits a check in that little blue light over there. And next thing you know, the name of whatever that is pops up on your phone. You punch into it and it says connected. You go anywhere you want to. on the internet. I do it sometimes in my preaching. And you call down an audio and you tell it to play it. And that thing may be sitting back there in the corner. I think they pick up somewhere around 30 feet. Most of them do. Some of them are further than that. And all of a sudden, music's coming out back yonder, or preaching's coming out back yonder. Not one wire hooked to it. You ain't hooked up no wires. But it's speaking like an individual. Matter of fact, I can speak on it and it sounds just like me. You know how we got recorded tapes. Now, they're going to get this better. They've got artificial intelligence. They call it AIs. They've got people. They got robots that look like people. A lot of them look like people. Listen, I'm amazed in the last 10 years how that they have changed the bodies of these robots. Back 100 years ago, there's a just hooks and wires and. But now they begin to take on when they move their mouth and speak. They begin to see the cheeks moving and amen. And they speak sweet or mean or ever how you want it. Amen. Now they've got them everywhere. All your stores, not all of them, but many of your stores have got these robots. Operating everything by an AI, artificial intelligence, and they know a lot. Matter of fact, I could find me if I just got out tonight and researched all this before daylight, I could drive in this town with a robot if I had the money to get it, and somebody would let me have it, and I could bring it over to your house, and that thing would be smarter than you are. It knows what to do. Now, Brother Bill knows a lot about this in the airlines. Don't you, Brother Bill? They have a lot of that stuff, don't they? You see a lot of it. And it's getting more popular. Well, this Antichrist is going to set this up in the temple. Some kind of image, and he's going to speak. And he's going to, say something. They're going to know it. And he's going to speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He's going to know. Amen. They know why I said this morning. They know more about you than you know about yourself. Amen. Most all the big places know you as a number anyhow. You're just a number. By the way, we got too many on the earth anyhow. And they're thinning them out now, and they're going to thin them out.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you the truth.
Amen.
I look at this. I don't know how many they're going to get down. I do know there's going to be a big army that's going to die one of these days in the Armageddon. So they're going to have a little trouble, and that may be their little thing one of these days trying to get the number down. They say population shouldn't be over 500 million. Anybody ever heard that number?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have got it figured out. The elite. God help us for the elite.
Yeah.
The elite have got it figured out that the way we've got everything planned and working, and we are able to sustain no more than 500 million at a comfortable pace. Too many kids. Amen. China has got on that. Well, you say it won't happen in America. What in the world do you think Planned Parenthood is? What in the world do you wonder why they won't stop abortion? Wake up! Amen. Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this right here. But what they're going to do is going to come out and say, you cannot buy nor sell, and the horsemen and the military, and probably be the UN, United Nations Security, will force this business of the mark of the beast. They'll know who you, they're learning every trick in the that they can today about you. They know where you go, what you do. They watch everything you do, every move you make. They know more about you than you do. And they're zeroing in on it. You said, "Preacher, I didn't come here tonight to get all that." Well, you getting it.
Amen.
Got your wagon backed up to the dock. I'm going to load it before you get out of here. Listen, that's going on. That's going to happen. Let's turn over, and I want to show that I'm going to have to quit. I know I'm going to have to quit. And I've got just a few more minutes left. And I'm, matter of fact, I'm a little bit overdue. But I don't reckon y'all going trick-or-treating and the Braves don't come on to 8. Amen. And I'll give you enough time to get home. Turn to Revelation chapter 16. Actually, I want to turn to 15. When you get to chapter 15, I want to show you something. The devil is going to set out and break out war against the Israelites and against the world. And he's going to do everything he can to destroy the earth. And destroy and take everything under control. Now in verse number 1 of chapter 15, notice this. "And I saw another sign in heaven." We're out here in chapter number 13. We're on the earth. Now let's change the scene. Let's get us another act. Chapter 15, we're going to raise the curtain here, and we find, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." When that rascal puts in the abomination of desolation in the temple and puts up an image and declares himself as God and makes everybody take a mark, you're going to see God step out on the throne and said, "This is enough. It's over." Look at it, what it says here in just a minute. "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God." They're upset tonight of all those who will not fall in line with them. They don't like you and me who refuse what they want. And they're going to give us trouble. And the devil will not like it when they will not take the mark of the beast and they refuse to do it, and so he's going to kill them. Are you putting a correlation together? Go on. Verse number 3, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the lambs, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are the ways that are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Verse 5, "And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened." Now God is fixing to move on the scene. So we'll slide down, read the rest of that, you get home, go to chapter 16. Now remember, the devil is on the earth doing his wicked deeds. This world will turn more satanic, more demonic, and more devilish than it's ever been. And I believe today we're fighting demon and devil possession tonight like we never have. I believe the devil's on more of a rampage than he's ever been, especially in my days. That's going to increase. Is this all making sense? Ooh, I'd like to have about an hour and a half, I tell you right now. So he don't like it when we don't fall in line. So God has said in chapter 16 in verse number 1, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. God is saying, I've had enough. The devil is doing his devilish deeds on the earth, and I'm going to put a stop to it. And from chapter 16 on, you find God moving in. Things that's never happened on the earth is going to happen. Verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men, upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. If we had never had a coronavirus in America or around the world, nobody would believe me tonight when I preach what I'm preaching now. But when the tribulation sets in, there will be a noisome and grievous sore upon men. Verse number 3 said, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. You know what the blood of a dead man is? It's coagulated blood. It's not flowing, the heart's not pumping, it's solidified. And that's what it's going to be. They're going to try to drink water, not have it. It's going to be not liquid blood, but gook, or whatever you want to call it. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. If you're looking at what I'm seeing, verse 3, he pours it out on the sea first. That's not the way we change things around here. If we want to get the sea blood, we pour blood in the springs. Yeah. If to go up in the mountains of Springhead, turn the springs into blood, and they'll flow down to the creeks and the rivers, and they'll get down in the ocean and the sea. But God is showing them, I'm going to do it backwards to show you that it's not man and it's not man-made. Is this good? And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us, for they have shed the blood of saints. Why is God going to do that? Because they've turned this world upside down, killing and murdering and crucifying men and women. And trampling his blood under their feet. And God don't like that. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Fourth vial is opened up in verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Have you heard preachers say that the stars are going to fall, and the stars are going to fall, and the sun's going to refuse to shine, and the moon's going to turn to blood? Have you heard preachers preach that? Well, I read that out of the Word of God. It's there. God said in the last day. Now listen, God is trying to tell us in Revelation that in the tribulation, after the abomination of desolation set up, he's going to step in and he's going to shut her down. And the sun is going to shine brighter than it's ever shined. Amen. Now you wonder why they're so worried about, what is it, climate change? Let me just insert this. Mr. Biden is overseas tonight, or was, or somehow been in the last day or two or a few days, hadn't he? Yeah. Talking to the leaders in foreign countries. Yeah. Pope's been all around. Macron's been all around. Some of the other countries. Reckon, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall and see what they talked about? Yes. What was he going to talk? They're going to talk about climate change. They're making a big issue out. Well, you worry. You said, preacher, you believe in climate. The devil knows that we're going to have a climate change down the road when God puts his hand to the plow. So he's trying to get ahead of the game, so he can explain it away like he's always done. It ain't God. Yeah. It's just climate change. Well, let's go on. Well, it's going to scorch them. And men were scorched with great heat. And what'd they do? Instead of crying out, "Oh God, take the sun away," they blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And the fifth angel comes out, and we'll find that there's darkness on the face of the deep. I suppose that's when the sun refuses to shine. I don't know that. I'm not going to put that in. But they gnawed their tongues for pain. And they blasphemed God because of it in verse 11. And they didn't repent. All this is consecutive. One right after another's happening. They've got sores, blood to drink. They've got the sun shining so bright and darkness at the same time. And I don't understand all that. But God is in the middle of it. I said this morning, God is in control. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And that's when they're going to start coming down. You read verse 13 and 16, you find the evil trinity. In verse number 13 and 14, I don't have time for that. But look at verse number 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne. And what's it say? Saying, "It is done." I remember somebody on the cross looked down at the man and said, "It is finished." And Gary said, "It is done." Good Bible doctrine there. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since of men upon which were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake as this is what I call the mother of all earthquakes. What was that fella they hung? Hussein. I can't remember all his name. Iraq. What was his name? Hussein, huh? Saddam Hussein. And he said when they started the war, "This is the mother of all wars. This is the mother of all bombs," and so forth. Well, this is the mother of all earthquakes. And you get down in verse number 21. This is such an earthquake that God's going to start splitting up. And somebody said, "You really think that's literal? I ain't going to be here. I don't know. But if you get to stay, you'll remember it." I believe God will bring this to your remembrance. Verse 21, hail is going to come out of heaven, and a stone, it's going to be every stone is about the weight of a talent, and men on top of all that are just going to plain out blaspheme and curse God. But you remember chapter 16 and on, chapter 17, chapter 18, God's going to move in and take them out. And then at the end of chapter 19, he's coming back with his saints that he's called out, you and me. Amen. Now I have left out about 50 pages. But I'll give you enough to think on. Does that make it clearer to you tonight? Or be able to sleep good, knowing you not have no problem with that unless you're lost. Now if you're lost, you ought not to sleep. Amen, because this stuff could come into play tomorrow, could come into play before midnight, could come in. Hey, November may not make it in here for the saints of God. We could be called out before midnight. All right, that said, that's enough, I guess.